Does God still speak to people today? From the book Reign Right Now, Lord, from fellowshipofthemartyrs.com. Posted by Eddie B. on the FOTM online discussion board at fellowshipofthemartyrs.com. Some years ago, I had awakened before my family, and I was in the kitchen when I heard the voice of the Lord say, "Roast a chicken." I had heard His voice before, so I said, "I'll be glad to, Lord, if You will tell me who to give it to." While I was speaking, I was pulling a chicken from my freezer and preparing a thought. "I want You to take it to Mrs. Ming," He said. Well, I don't know Mrs. Ming. I knew of her, though. I knew that she was an elderly woman in our church who was the wife of a retired minister. I knew that she had cancer and that her elderly husband was caring for her. I didn't know what she looked like, had never spoken to her, and didn't know where they lived. But the Lord had spoken, so I thawed the chicken and prepared it for roasting, then put it in the oven. As I prepared it, I thought of other things I might fix to make a complete meal. Fluffy fruit salad, mashed potatoes and gravy, corn. It sounded good, even to me. It was just a few minutes before noon when the meal was ready, and I decided that I would call our church office and see if anyone knew the address of the Mings. It was Saturday, and I knew the office was closed, but I called anyway. Someone answered the phone and gave me the address of the elderly couple. Bless them. I got a large box, armed with the address, and headed out to a nearby town that I was not familiar with. Within 2 minutes of driving into the town, I was at their house. Still, I felt rather foolish pulling into the driveway of complete strangers, holding a big cardboard box and saying, "Hey, I'm here with a chicken dinner that God told me to bring to you." That was out of my comfort zone. But I got the box out of the back of my car and did just that. A little man with a dear face opened the door and looked at me questioningly. "Yes," he said. "God told me to bring you a chicken dinner for lunch, so here I am. Have you already eaten?" He opened the door and stepped aside, motioning me to set the box on the kitchen counter. I lifted the hot dishes out of the box and took the covers off. Not only had they not eaten, the kitchen was dark and nothing had even been started in the way of a meal. The little man looked jolly as he said they hadn't had a bite. He lovingly prepared a plate for his sick wife and took it into her darkened room. "This lady has brought us a roasted chicken for lunch," he told her. I was still in the kitchen when he came back and said, "My wife would like to talk to you." I walked into the room of a woman who was in the last stages of cancer. She reached a frail hand out to me, and in a soft voice she said, "This morning I was so hungry for chicken, I thought I couldn't stand it. So I said, 'Jesus, I don't know how You can do it, or if You even think it's important enough, but if You could get me some roasted chicken, I would be so happy.'" She looked at me with the sweetest expression and said, "He used you." That dear lady went home to be with Jesus before the next week was out, and the Lord let me be His hand reaching out in love to her. What a privilege. Later, I was telling the little incident to one of my young daughter's friends, and she said, "Oh, that was my grandma. She didn't have any appetite at all for weeks before she died. How nice that the Lord gave her such a blessing right before she went home." I thought then that if I'd failed to respond to God's voice, refused to move out of my comfort zone, that the Lord would probably have found someone else who would be faithful. But what a blessing I would have missed. Communications, hotline to headquarters. From the book, Reign Right Now, Lord, from fellowshipofthemartyrs.com. Why do we need to do this? Because you need to hear really clearly from headquarters before we start passing out new weapons you don't know what to do with. The last thing we need is more friendly fire accidents when you go firing off stuff like prophecy or tongues without having been trained. You could do some serious damage, trust me. It's really important that we get your pipeline all cleaned out so that you know what to give, what to ask for, and what to do with it. If there is stuff in the way, we need to get it out so your motives will be right and He can call the shots. Okay, so we got the red stuff out. We got the sin and other things out. We're getting more of the yellow stuff out, of the self out. We learned how to get more blue stuff, how to get more of the Holy Spirit. Now what? Well, now it's time to get your filters unclogged so you can hear God really well and He can direct all your paths. This works better as a question and answer thing. You ready? First, what exactly are we talking about? Does God really speak to people today? Yes, in a whole bunch of ways, from a gentle nudge to instruction through the Word, to using other people and circumstances to speak to you, to sending dreams and visions or angels, or even conversing directly with you. You can hear God and converse with Him? You're kidding, right? Not kidding. You can absolutely talk to God and He'll talk back. There are millions of people all over the world that rely on God for constant daily instruction on all sorts of things. But there's a difference between hearing God audibly with your natural ears outside of your own head and hearing the inner, still, small voice. It's pretty rare for God to speak to people audibly. But there are plenty of folks out there that say they've heard Him, and the evidence is that once they did, it changed them forever. Many of the house churches in China are under such persecution that they can't set a regular time for a meeting or even tell each other when the meeting will be. They all just pray independently, and God Himself sets the time and place and tells each to be there. I've experienced that kind of coordination myself and hear Him speak to me all the time. This is totally for real and the birthright of every believer. He's your dad, and He wants to talk to you. Wait, people hear the God of the universe tell them stuff? Like what tie to wear and whether to turn left or right, what job to take, what to have for dinner, not just big stuff? Sure. The Bible says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Proverbs 3:6. What do you think all your ways means? And how is He going to direct you if you can't hear Him? Yeah, but my pastor said God doesn't talk to people like that. Well, God used to talk to people all the time in the Bible. Wonder when He stopped. Did He say He was going to stop? Isn't He the same yesterday, today, and forever? If anything, once the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2, there were lots more people talking to God directly. Never mind the millions of people all over the world who you have to conclude are thoroughly and certifiably nuts, including many of the most effective leaders of the church. In order to sustain that argument, you have all kinds of logic problems. Consider this. If God used to talk to people but doesn't now, then we must not need to hear from Him anymore. Can that be? By all measures, we're worse off than ever. If there is a war between good and evil, we're losing pretty badly right now and really desperately need to be getting commands directly from headquarters, not from flawed man-made sources and tradition-soaked interpretations of scriptures. If there is a battle between good and evil, then who would benefit most if the people on the good side were told that they couldn't actually talk to their commander-in-chief? Now, you know the evil side is absolutely clear to everyone that if you try to talk to their leadership, you will get an answer real fast. Even Christians are afraid to mess with Ouija boards and call on the names of demons because somewhere inside they believe something very real will show up almost instantly. But at the same time, the forces of darkness want us to buy that our God is mute. Doesn't that sound like something the snake would say in the garden? Despite hundreds of examples in the Bible that He is available and accessible all the time, we have too often bought the lie that God is unwilling or unable to actually talk to His own children. It's a lie from the pit, and we've bought into it for too long. How about this? If we receive the Holy Spirit when we are saved, then one-third of the Godhead is living inside of us all the time. 1 John 4:13-17. But He doesn't have anything to say? He's not interested in our daily activities? God's not big enough to know what we should have for lunch. He knows the hairs on your head and monitors our every coming and going, but has no opinion about it or desire to give us advice? What kind of father is that? If we're dead and it's Christ in us that lives, then shouldn't He be running the show? Romans 7:4-6. The most common argument I hear is that when the Bible was done being written, then that which was perfect has come and that which was in part was done away. 1 Corinthians 13:10. So we don't need to talk to God anymore. The argument is that 1 Corinthians 12 talks about tongues and prophecy, and then chapter 13 tells about the way it should be when the perfect is come, so you should do away with all that. But they don't seem to notice that then chapter 14 starts with Paul urging them to seek the gift of prophecy. Said another way, I think, when that which is perfect is come refers to Jesus returning, not the Bible being completed. What we have now is not that which is perfect has come. If the Bible is what's being referred to there, then why hasn't knowledge ceased? If it's the perfect thing mentioned there, then nothing could stand against it. If the Bible is perfect, then could somebody please tell me which version is flawless? And if none of them are, because we don't have the original manuscripts anymore, then something did stand against it. If the perfect has come, then why do we have 37,000 plus denominations and we seem to be losing the battle with the darkness? There are just big, giant logic problems with that argument, not to mention the personal experience of millions of reasonable Jesus lovers all over the world. Yeah, but my pastor says even he doesn't hear God conversationally like that. Okay, well, you see, Matthew 18:18 says that what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It goes on to say that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by the Father in heaven. Verse 19. So could it be that we have whole groups of Christians that have agreed that God doesn't talk to people? And if they were convinced of that, don't those verses say that God will honor it? So maybe the problem is that if you're convinced God won't talk to you that way, He won't. And who would you blame? The pastor? Probably not. In fairness, we got to lay it at the feet of the snake and the generations of tradition that have been built up to keep us from being truly Spirit-led. There could also be other problems that would keep a person from hearing God. One possibility is that you're on the wrong team, even if you think you're not. You know, it's possible to make up your own Jesus, and you'll get a response from that one about as good as if you were praying to a stick of wood. Another is that you have unrepented sin that stands between you and God, and God has convicted you of it so many times that He's just given up trying to talk to you about it anymore. Oh, and by the way, you're going to have to get over that thing about the pastor being more holy than you. This is a one-on-one relationship with Jesus you're supposed to have. You can't do it by proxy through the guy that gets paid to hear God, especially if he admits he's not hearing God. We are all the church. We are each temples that hold God's Spirit. Any one of us that are adopted sons of God have the ability to petition the throne directly and seek His face. God loves each. In fact, He's especially fond of those that come to Him with faith like little children. Sometimes pastors have a hard time with that. I don't think there are any faith like a child classes in seminary. This is just crazy. How could this be true and I never knew it before? Wouldn't somebody have told me? Well, I think you underestimate the damage the enemy has done and how long he's been plotting this. The vast majority of the church in the West does not live the normal Christian life. That is, biblically speaking, we're to be full of power and might. We're to be free of the bondage of sin. We're to not conform to the world. We're to be dead to ourselves. We're to be one body and loving and serving each other with all our heart. That's just a few. Can you see how far away from that we actually are as a church? We're not even close. There must be something missing. Somebody left something out. And it has to be this. God Himself is supposed to be directing you, and you're supposed to be listening and obeying. Now, who would benefit most from us leaving that little piece out? Yep, the guy in the black hat. Now, what do you think a close encounter conversationally with the God of the universe might do to a person? Trust me, it would change everything. It would show them the power of the relationship they have as adopted sons. They would lose all fear. They would sacrifice anything to keep hearing Him. They would obey and walk in His ways. They would know, really know, that God Himself lives in them, and they would want more of Him. They would do the things on His heart, like feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and saving the lost. They would be in awe of His holiness and seek to please Him out of reverence and honor, not out of legalism or church requirements. So, if there is a war between good and evil, then wouldn't our most immediate and urgent need be to get people to where they can hear clear, timely, reliable commands from headquarters? If you have a guy in basic training that refuses to listen to the drill sergeant and does his own thing, wouldn't you want to leave him at home? He's just going to get himself killed when the enemy starts shooting and leadership says duck and he can't or won't hear them. He's no good to anybody. Maybe he could be a supply clerk, but he really shouldn't be on the front lines. He should stay home and send his money to the folks on the front lines that hear God really well and obey all the time, no matter what the cost. But we have the Bible. God's Word is what we're to use to direct our paths. Okay, sure. Not got anything bad to say about the Word of God. Everything God tells us to do will line up with His own Word. But no matter how well you know the Bible, it can't accommodate for every possible situation and what you should do. There's lots of stuff not covered in there. Like which of these two jobs God wants me to take. And there's stuff in there that men have been arguing about for centuries without ever getting agreement. Lots of wasted time trying to figure out how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. By the way, which side benefits most when God's people fight over stupid stuff? Are you getting the hang of this yet? Think of it like this. You're in the Army, and they give you a manual. All kinds of stuff is covered in there. What to wear, how to salute, how the weapons work, how to survive in a battle, what to eat in the forest, how the chain of command works, even what the enemy is like and how to resist them. There's even stuff in there about what the enemy will do one day, whether they like it or not. It's a really good manual. In fact, it's inspired by God. It covers an amazing array of stuff and could probably handle most any situation. So would the drill sergeant ask you to read it, maybe even memorize it, and then send you into battle with nothing but that? Are you going to be able to know what to do when the bullets start flying? What about group strategy and deployment of forces and anticipating enemy movements? Is the manual going to accommodate for every possible scenario on a rapidly changing battlefield? Are you sure you're interpreting it right? Is there time in the foxhole to be arguing with other soldiers that are reading it differently? What if some idiot published like 20 different translations and paraphrases of the manual? Then what? Are you really sure you have the right version? Isn't there a chain of command? Isn't there somebody in charge calling the shots that's supposed to tell you what to do next? Aren't you supposed to be listening and obeying? Do you want to go into battle without the manual? No. Want to rely on it alone when you have other resources available? No. Want to take an order from somebody that goes against what it says in the manual? Absolutely not. When the bullets start flying, do you want to hear personally and directly from headquarters so that you can know that help is coming and know what to do? You betcha. We need a radio to headquarters that works real good, with no static on the line and no enemy transmission sneaking in. If you insist that you don't want to hear God, I still love you, but I'm not going to the front lines with you. I don't know. This is kind of scary. What if I hear wrong? What if it's the enemy messing with me? Maybe this is all in your mind. Wow, that's a whole mess of stuff there. Let's try this one at a time. Maybe it's all in your mind. Well, it's not just me. There's hundreds of millions like me that hear God. In fact, most of the growth in the church worldwide is because of those people. The mainline denominations are shrinking. It's the Spirit-led revolutionaries that are exploding into new territories and pushing back the darkness. The growth in this arm of the church went from about zero in 1900 to about 500 million people in 2000. God is pouring out His Spirit, and people are listening. Okay, let's try it from the opposite direction. It all sunk in for me one day when it struck me that Satan never creates anything. He just makes weak copies of whatever God is doing. He's a liar and a deceiver and a fake. So while it may seem far-fetched, most folks, even Christians, will admit that evil is a real force in the world and the supernatural is real. The Bible verifies repeatedly that witches and mediums and sorcery are real, by the way, and that you're headed for hell if you mess with them. Deuteronomy 18:10-12, Colossians 5:20, and many others. The enemy has psychics and mediums and astral projection and Ouija boards and demons and zombies and spells and curses. So where's our stuff? If this is a war, why does only one side get cool weapons? Was my church leaving out important stuff that I needed for warfare? Because in the first century, they had amazing weapons and defenses available to them. They had the Holy Spirit telling them stuff they wouldn't have known, Acts 5:1-11. They had people hearing from God, Acts 13:2. They had people writing stuff as God dictated, the book of Revelation and others. They were caught up in the Spirit to heaven, 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. They had dreams and visions, Acts 10:9-23. They saw angels, Acts 12. They saw Jesus himself, Acts 9:1-22. They cast out demons, Acts 16:16-18. They were bitten by deadly snakes and didn't die, Acts 28:1-10. They spoke in other languages of men and of angels, Acts 2, 1 Corinthians 12, and more. They healed people, Acts 5:15. They prayed and miracles happened, Acts 5:12 and Acts 12. Even teleportation, or as I prefer, theoportation, Acts 8:39. And they raised the dead, Acts 9:32-42. They even had people who were against them drop dead, Acts 5:1-11, or go blind, Acts 13:6-12, on command. And that's just one reference to each of those. There are lots more. Now, the argument is that all that stuff ended when the Bible was done being written. But it didn't end for the other team. So how come just all our cool stuff got taken away? Wouldn't it have really benefited the enemy a lot to spread that story that we were powerless around for a couple thousand years? Do you see? This is no kind of way to fight a war. There must be stuff we've been leaving out. The enemy has us twisted up into 1,000 pieces, 37,000 to be specific, and we can't stand because we're not one body. because of all the arguing over stupid stuff, which we would never have done if we had all been hearing the voice of God personally and reliably and walking in the gifts. This is kind of scary. Yeah, no kidding. This is the biggest thing ever in your life. That the God of the universe wants to be intimately involved in everything you do and say and eat and wear and think? That's massively scary. And yet we can never have peace and joy and victory until we have a relationship with Jesus and are led by His Holy Spirit. You see, under our own power, we just screw everything up. There has never been any strategy of man that has led to anything good in the long run. Oh, it might work for a little while, but you get enough sinful people involved in it, add money, mix in a little Satan, and it's toast. Or worse, you get communism or fascism or something and millions of people die. There are just two options. If it's of man, it will fail. And if it's of God, nothing can stand against it. Acts 5:38 and 39. Since the church in America is failing, somebody other than God must be in charge. You see a logic problem there? Anyway, yes, it's scary. But what a payoff to walk in holiness because God Himself is fighting off the temptations and snares of the enemy. To hear Him all the time and get direction on anything and everything. To know that He is completely and totally in charge at all times in every situation. How are you going to find peace without hearing from God? How is what you have now working for you? And hearing His voice is not even a gift of the Spirit. It's just an automatic for every believer. We haven't even talked about prophecy and discernment of spirits and knowledge and wisdom and tongues and healing and all the other gifts God gives His children. Trust me, the payoff is amazing. But it's going to cost you everything. But everything you think you have isn't yours anyway, so who cares? What if I hear wrong? What if the enemy is messing with me? Well, sure, that can happen. He's certainly going to try and confuse and frustrate you. We are specifically instructed, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. 1 John 4:1. That must mean that other spirits are potentially messing with us. And since there is no indication that this ended when the Bible was completed, then there must still be demons putting thoughts into our heads. And if there are still demons putting thoughts into our heads, then we must still have a need to test and see if they are from God. And if they're not from God, then we resist them and they flee. But it must also mean that one of the possibilities is that the spirit we're hearing is from God. Again, proving the point that God still speaks to us, despite 1 Corinthians 13:10. You see, 1 John 4 goes on in verses 2 and 3 to lay out how you can know what it is that is talking to you and from where it comes. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. End quote. When we get a thought in our head, we have to figure out who it is. There are only three choices. You, God, or the enemy. Sometimes other people tell us stuff, but they're still playing to one of the three. We're to bring every thought into obedience with Christ and the Word. That means our own thoughts that are out of line and the ones inserted by the enemy. I find that, sadly, the enemy and I sound a lot alike. We aren't really that different after all. I apply this question to everything. If I follow through with this thought that just came into my head, who is glorified most? God, Satan, or me? If it's anything other than God, even if it's me, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And if it was me, I ask the Lord to hunt down whatever in me wanted to suggest something that wouldn't glorify Him and kill it. Could you screw it up? Sure, particularly if the voices are very sneaky. Which they will be, because demons are smarter than us and know the human condition very well after all these years of torturing and twisting us. Without God fighting for you, you haven't got a chance. You have to be constantly on guard, constantly armored up, and expecting anything from any direction. But His arm is long, and His shields are mighty. He will always get you through if you are sincerely seeking Him and trying to walk in holiness. Okay, I'm getting that it's possible, but I'm going to have to hear Him for myself. I'm willing to try. What do we do? Great! Yeah, don't take my word for it. Seek Him yourself. Well, the first thing is to ask the Lord to show you anything that stands in the way between you and Him. It's like this. There's a pipeline of information that flows between us and God. He always hears us, but if we can't hear Him, it's probably because of things we have put in the way. Anything that we put between us and God is an idol. God never puts those things there. We do. The most common thing is religion or the pastor. Then all messages from God have to filter through that and get garbled. Others include sins and habits and addictions and disobedience of one sort or another. They all have to go. Only then can we get clear commands from upstairs. Don't let anything come between you and God. The point of the church coming together should be that we can crucify pieces of ourselves so that Christ in us can live. Said another way, it's to help each other identify the things that stand between us and Jesus and pluck them out. The most common thing we put in the way is our belief that God won't talk to us. That's got to go. If you don't think He's a living God and active and able to speak and desiring relationship with you, then you're going to have to lay that down. One of the other possibilities is that you're worshiping the wrong Jesus. Paul said that would happen, that someone would come preaching another Jesus and people would accept it. It's very simple. If you make up your own Jesus, don't expect an answer when you pray. Prosperity Jesus, emergency only Jesus, not quite as good as the Virgin Mary Jesus, and a zillion others are all made up. If you make your own God from scratch, expect about as much response as if you were praying to a stick. Those are not Bible Jesus, who doesn't like to be toyed with and put in a box. Other things in the way are a reliance on someone else for your holiness or connection to God, pastor, wife, mother, etc. That's got to stop. This is a one-on-one relationship with Jesus. Nobody is going to do it for you. Other pipeline blockages include addiction, pride, selfishness, bitterness, anger, laziness, fear, and so many others that keep us from experiencing the fullness that is in Christ. Ask the Lord to show you what is in the way, and He is faithful to always do that if you'll listen. Ask some other folks to pray with you if possible, and just pray in agreement that the Lord will make Himself very clear to you about what to do next. Just pray and believe. He'll come and help unclog you. Believe that He wants to talk to you and start conversing with Him. Find someone to be accountable with that knows God really well and make sure you don't act on anything that sounds fishy without verifying it with the Word of God. Now, not with the doctrines of man, mind you, with the Word of God. If you like, pray something like this. Lord, I'm sorry I ever put you in a box. I'm sorry I limited you in any way. I'm sorry that I haven't been hearing you as well as I should. And I acknowledge that I clogged up my pipeline with stuff. Please, Lord, whatever it takes, scrub it all out of there with the blood of Jesus. I just want you, Jesus. You direct my paths and organize my days. You tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Help me hear you better. Help make me dangerous to the enemy. Increase the Jesus in me, even if it hurts. I love you, Lord. You be in charge now. Amen.